Okay, we're continuing in the Bilvavi, Volume 2, page Kuf Samach Zayin, in the second paragraph. And we're discussing the user-friendly type of development of Yiras HaOnesh, fear of punishment. And again, I just want to read a little bit, or paraphrase a little bit from the Bilvavi 1, which was in Simon Kuf Mem and Kuf Mem Aleph, where he goes through it a little clearer, even though in the text here we're using with it says you got to keep Hashem in the equation of Gehenim, but it wasn't really as well developed as it was in the first volume. So let me just go over, make sure I get all the points. So he says in the first volume, he says, why did Hashem create Gehenim? Does Hashem want to do bad to people? Certainly not. But rather is that Hashem wants that we should be close to Him. And when there is a barrier of Averos that prevents a person from getting close and cleaving to Hashem, then one of the possibilities of removing those barriers is through the punishment of Gehenim. So the whole concept of Gehenim is only a means for a person to get close to Hashem. So if a person's afraid of Gehenim in general and doesn't remember and live with the fact with who created the Gehenim and who's punishing there and why he's punishing them, then he's missing the most important point of the punishment of Gehenim. As he's, and he says, and that point is that he should be afraid of the barriers that he has created. Okay, and that is what should be, but instead, if you're just afraid of Gehenim itself, so you don't reach the goal of what Gehenim was created for. And again, this whole idea of being punished, you know, people get upset at that, and they say, listen, if God loves me, you know, why does he want to hurt me so much? Right? And therefore, the thought that this suffering causes us, the thought of this suffering causes us to go far away from God. I don't want to be with a punishing God. Right? But that all comes from an external understanding of Gehenim. If we really understood that the purpose of Gehenim was to get us closer to Hashem, and that's the only way to get close to Hashem, the only way to reach your potential and fulfillment in life, then, you'd think differently. You know, it's all because of our wrong definitions of love. That's all. In the North American definition, if you love me, give me everything I want. And if you don't, I can't love you. So, parents fall into that trap, and they end up with kids hating them. Right? Give me everything I want. So parents give kids everything they want, and the kids hate the parents more so, because they gave them everything they wanted. So, Hashem, give me everything I want. Give me enjoyable world here. Let me do averus. Let me enjoy it. And let me live with the mechitzas. And, you know, don't do anything about it. Okay, so then what happens? You're not close to Hashem. And then you end up hating God. So, you know, the tough love is the one that really works. And that's what Hashem has to give us. If we understood it was the tough love, then we'd appreciate it. Right? And that's the idea of the fear. Just like there is the punishment in Gehenim, so we should be afraid of the punishment. Right? So now what's the point of the fear? What's the point of the fear? Does Hashem want to pain us and to make us be afraid? And that's not, for sure not. But if the whole point of life is to be close to Hashem, and if a person goes against Hashem and they create these barriers, so Hashem created the Gehenim to get rid of the barriers, so a person should be afraid of this, what? That he should be afraid to create the barriers that would require the Gehenim to correct the barriers. And therefore, you know, my greatest fear is not create the barrier to begin with. So then Hashem wouldn't have to give me the Gehenim to correct the mistake of the barrier that I have created. Okay, that's a different kind of a fear. Right? Just like we want to teach our children a fear to not walk across the street without looking both ways. And they should have a fear for that. That's the same fear that Hashem wants, that we shouldn't create the barrier. Because look what Hashem has to do to fix up when I mess up so bad. And the last thing Hashem wants to do is to send me to Gehenim. It's the last thing he wants to do. He doesn't want to make me suffer. But that's the only way to clean us up. Right? So that's the point. So the fear of Gehenna isn't a goal in and of itself, but the whole point of this fear is so therefore we won't go far away from Hashem, and we'll always remember to be close to Him. So that's the problem. The problem is if you're only afraid of the Gehenna alone without thinking of the overall program, then that's going to be a negative experience. But if you understand that the punishment that's there is only to make the person cleave to Hashem, and Gehenna doesn't exist in and of itself, so when the person works hard to acquire this Yiras HaOnesh, if he remembers what he's really afraid of, then it'll be a healthy experience. I'm afraid to create the barriers that will necessitate the correction of the Gehenna that Hashem will be giving, because the whole problem is that I moved far away from Hashem. Right? And he mentioned also in the first volume that you got to remember, there can be nothing in this world that is meant to take us away from Hashem. Everything that Hashem has is to bring us close to Hashem. So even in Gehenna, you should feel close to Hashem. Right? And that's what we're learning last night in the book of Yonah. That his whole prayer, the whole prayer that he gives in the second parak, is in Gehenna. The prayer in the fish, if you haven't gone to the class, you should listen to the MP3s. It will be three tapes to listen to, and you're going to get the whole book. But he's davening to Hashem in Gehenna. So what do you mean he's davening to Hashem in Gehenna? That's the point. Davening, you can imagine, if davening is talking to Hashem, it's getting close to Hashem. So the process of Gehenna was getting him closer to Hashem. Right? That's what Rav Shach said. He quoted Rav Shach the first one. He says, so the person can get close to Hashem everywhere, even in the moment he's in Gehenna. Right? Because even though it's a painful experience, it's a painful experience that brings you close to Hashem. If it's part of what Hashem created in this world, it was meant to be part of the overall program, and every part of this world is supposed to get you close to Hashem, even Gehenna. Right? So that's what Yonah is all about, that even in Gehenna, he davens to Hashem. He says, okay, I had enough. I think I got cleaned out. Really, I understand. I got the message. Okay, I'm ready for whatever else you want to give me in my life. And that got him back on task. And that's the biggest kindness Hashem can do to you, is to get you back on track. Yeah.
So one of the things I don't understand is the Neshama is a spiritual being. It's not physical. And I understand we have to frame Gehenna in a way that we can understand it without all this pain and the suffering that we get in Gehenna. I understand we have to look at it and sort of frame it that way to appreciate it, but we're still trying to understand what could it really be like, because if you have this spiritual being that really doesn't feel physical pain, would it be like an emotional pain, like you feel hurt that you're away from Hashem? Or?
Listen, it's a spiritual pain, which we can't understand it, and we'll see it.
Like an emotional, like you feel bad.
We'll see it in another page or two. What certain tzaddikim did to try to approximate the feeling. Right? Whatever we're going to say it is, we can't give you the exact definition, because we don't have the tools to comprehend it. Just like we don't have the tools to comprehend what Olam Haba is. You're sitting close to Hashem. Well, what does that mean? Does that get you excited? You know, not a lot of people are even close to Hashem. You know what I'm saying? So Gehenna is the cure to get you to be close to Hashem. You know, what's it like? You know, there are these, you know, we use words that are, you know, something, fire, ice, you know, it's not actually a physical fire that burns you up, but it's the root of what fire is. So what, it's a spiritual root of fire. What is that? Well, he's going to explain a couple pages. Would you like to put your finger in a fire? Right, so however bad it feels physically, that's how bad it feels spiritually. Whatever that means. That's the best we can do. You know, some people give analogies. There's certainly shame, there's certainly embarrassment, there's certain feelings, but it's on a different level. But
it must be worse than physical suffering.
Yes, it is. For sure. You know, we all understand that. What would you rather have? Somebody punch you in the nose or someone humiliate you? Right? Which is worse? Humiliation. Because it goes to the core. The punching in the nose is superficial. It hurts. because it only hurts the nose. But when somebody humiliates you, embarrasses you, you know, if it goes all the way in and it doesn't go away so easily, whenever you see the person, whenever you see everybody, you all remember how you were humiliated. So that we understand that's a bigger hurt. So it's in that direction.
Okay, but that's kind of a bad example. But we learned in the past that like a tzaddik would suffer in this world and God forbid have cancer and
yeah,
you know, suffer.
Right.
And we learned that he suffers in this world so he has less
right
in Gehenna.
Right.
So therefore it's gonna be a lot worse than someone who's
that's right, but on a different level. It's not more physical pain. You know, I don't think you can be more in pain than when you're dying from cancer. Right? I don't know. You know, it's unless the Nazis could find ways. Nazis could find ways. But besides that, you know, it's the end of the day, it is, you know, there's a limit to how much physical pain one can give someone. There is a threshold. It's as much as what the body can handle. That's it. Now you're going beyond the body. It's beyond the body. It's going to the core of what your essence is. It's your neshama. Right, so that's a pain that's not describable. Can't describe it. That's the problem. He says that's the problem. People, you know, don't really get what it is. You know, if I felt it, then maybe I'd, you know, if God give you a little injection of what it felt like, you might take it more seriously. So you can't just like, you know, people who haven't had a lot of physical pain in life and they haven't felt it, right? The doctor says you better get better, you better get better. You don't get better, you're gonna get heart disease. You're gonna get a person says, well, I don't know what it feels like, so it can't be that bad, you know. But then when they have it, they realize it's bad. Shortness of breath, this and whatever. So certain things, you know, it's not possible. It's in a different realm of reality. Now again, you could suggest a person was really in touch with his neshama. You could say just like if a person works on this sefer for years and be able to connect with his neshama, he will be able to have Olam Haba experiences to a certain level in this world. So it's possible to have a Gehenna experience in this world, but we have to be more in touch with your neshama because that is the that's the receptor to pick up the frequency of the pleasure or the pain. So to the degree that one is more in touch with his neshama, he can appreciate more what Gehenna would be. So since we're not, we can't. I can't explain it any better. You know, they give all these dimyonos, they give all these analogies, you know, they play your life in front of you and you see all the embarrassing moments. You know, but it's gotta be more than that. It's more than just how you physically feel embarrassment now. It's going to your neshama. So it's gonna be infinitely worse. How that is, we don't know. But it's bad enough. Even if it was just fire, it would be bad, wouldn't it? Just imagine it. It's a raging fire that never stops. You burn and you don't get extinguished. You don't get destroyed and you still suffer and you're living. That's pretty bad. Right? But it's much more than that. That we can't. Even if you look in the Chazal, they use words that we know this isn't what it really is. It's just, you know, physical words to give you some handle on it. Right? But that's bad enough. Listen, we know we don't like physical pain, and if it's 10 times worse than physical pain, we surely don't want it. That's the best I can answer.
So is everybody clean after 11 months?
It depends. It could be 12. If you're a Russia, it's 12. And there's some who suggest that many people should be saying Kaddish for 12 years, 12 months.
You don't want to embarrass?
No, it's not so much. If a person knows he had parents who were really not from, you should say it for 12 months. They're really not from, and you're saying it for them, and they're really not from. I mean, they didn't keep Shabbos, didn't keep kosher, don't keep anything. It's not so push it. There's good reason to say you should say it for 12 months. And you know what? It really doesn't embarrass because nobody's keeping track of how long you're saying Kaddish. You know, the guy's saying Kaddish, you know. Is anybody else noticing, you know, when the Kaddish is over? You know, because you know, after a few months, you would forget when the person's father or mother died. So if they do another month, everyone's going to know. Right? And the truth is, you know, that. No, we don't do it. If your parent went to shul and your parent did this and did all these things, you know, then we should assume he's not going to get 12 months. He's not a Russia. Someone mamish davens 3 times a day, puts on tefillin, doesn't talk Lashon Hara a lot, you know. You know, I'm saying, you know, and basically he's in the game. you know, okay, I don't know, maybe 3 months Gehenna, 4 months. You know, 12 months means you're a Russia. Okay? I mean, a Russia. So that's different. Okay? But so far, so person's parents weren't Shomer Tamisus, that said, and they, you know, they just didn't do much at all. You know, just had a Seder at 6 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, and went to shul, you know, on Yom Kippur and slept during the rabbi's drush and came for a half an hour. Yeah, okay, they're gonna have something, you know, but they're very far away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, so that, you know, there's reason to say you should do the 12 months. I don't say it publicly. I'm going to say, you know, your father was a Russia. You should do it for 12 months. I don't know if they would take kindly to that, you know. But there were certain rabbis, you know, like in the 30s and the 40s, people were saying Kaddish, and people were ignorant. They never went to shul. They went to shul to say Kaddish for their father. So the rabbi knew this is the only time he's ever going to go to shul. After this, you know, day 11, month, and one day, he ain't coming back to shul, right? So a lot of those rabbis told him to stay for 12 months, regardless of the parents were Rishayim or Tzedikim, because at least that way they came to shul for another month. Right? It's that or the guy doesn't go to shul. Well, and they don't know the difference. Most people don't know this 11 and 12 months. A secular person, they don't know 11 and 12. The guy who's not going to shul every day, you know, he doesn't know 11 months kash. They think it's a year. So why should you teach them more? She goes to shul for 12 months. How it's going to make up river. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, let's go back inside. Kuf Samach Zayin, the second paragraph. All right. So we ended up with a little tefillah. That Hashem, you know, to daven to Hashem that what I should really be afraid of. Right? Not just the Gehenna, but I should be afraid of you. And afraid, you know, of all those things. So, Amnam, Yeshua Zen Kura Muka. There is a deeper point. Kamala Fached, how much should you be afraid? Okay, how afraid are you now? Im Adam Nimtza Kfar B'Madrega Shum Fached, if you're on a level that you're afraid, Harehi Gufa Reitza Hu Liknais Madrega Nosefes Mishapachet, the person probably wants to have an increased level of fear. Kidei Sheshuv Lo Yipachet, so he shouldn't once again be afraid. V'Chozech Lila, and it goes into a virtuous circle. That somebody emailed me. I want to know what the opposite of a vicious circle was. Right? So somebody looked it up, and told me it's a virtuous circle. So now at least you have a new term. Right? So, you know, Klomer, meaning to say, humafachet, he's afraid. Achumafachet, gam mikashu humafachet, maspik. But he's also afraid, but I'm not afraid enough. Right? I'm afraid, but you know, I'm not, if I'd be more afraid, then I really wouldn't do that there. So I'm afraid, I'm not afraid enough. He asks Hashem in Davos, Hashem, make me a little bit more afraid. So I should be afraid enough that it would stop me from an Avera. You know, it's like, you know, well, you know, okay, you're punished. Okay, so, you know, for this Avera, it's going to be one more day in Gehenna. Okay, one day. It's worth it. You know, to do, you know, you got that Avera, you know, that's, shouldn't do it. You know, should be afraid. Okay, let's get, okay, no, let's get ahead. Okay. So, you know, but if you're not that afraid of Gehenna, so you will just take a day of Gehenna for an enjoyable afternoon, right? So I don't know if I'm afraid enough. He davened Hashem, you should even be more afraid. Now, of course, you know, you shouldn't be neurotic about this, because if you become totally neurotic, well, I should even be more afraid and more afraid and more afraid. You know, it'll paralyze the person, it'll never do anything. So, but there is an idea of not just saying, okay, there is Gehenna, I'm a little bit afraid. You do want to have a fear that you're not afraid enough, and you want to reach a level of being afraid enough. Okay. Imadam lo margish kol kach pach Gehenna, but if you don't feel that afraid of Gehenna, which I would assume most people don't. It's not like you're terrified. You're more terrified that people shouldn't find out what you're doing. Much more than Gehenna. But kachu b'der chlal teva adam shechaser lo timizu. And that's the general rule, that the nature of people is they're lacking this simplicity of understanding what the fear of Gehenna is. So that's the next thing you daven for. Hashem, if you didn't write in your holy works that a person should work on his fear of punishment, I wouldn't be working on it. Lama b'chol oifan, or lama b'chol oifan ani oved al kach, so why anyway am I working on it? Right? If you, kivan shani yodeh, shazer ritzon chayisbar, because I know that's your will. That's the right path. I'm working on trying to be afraid of this Gehenim because that's what you want me to do. But I normally wouldn't. So therefore I ask you, help me to acquire this proper fear of this punishment. Because that is your will, that I should be afraid of these punishments. And this itself is your honor that I'm afraid of the punishments that you will give me. That's what you should be davening to Hashem, that I should be afraid of this Gehenim. It should penetrate into me. And how are you capable of doing that? Because really the neshama does know how bad it is. So you're asking Hashem to get you in contact with your neshama that will cue you in a little more that there's something to be afraid of over here. So he gives an interesting analogy. What can we compare this to? Of Amar Livno, a father says to his son, and I'm sure we've had this, if you don't do what I say, you're not going to go on the trip. Right? We're planning a big trip, Sunday, a happy trip, everyone wants to go. If you don't clean your room tonight, you ain't going on the trip. You know, I don't recommend those kinds of threats because they usually backfire on you. Because most of the time, the kid won't do it and now you're stuck. You know, especially like you have no babysitter for that kid. He's a 7-year-old kid. What are you going to leave him behind while everybody goes on the trip? And then what are you going to do? You're going to cancel the whole trip? So all the someone's going to hate that brother? Never do it. Unless you really, you know, and whenever you say that, have in your mind like this. I know he's not going to do it. And I prepared, how am I going to work it that he doesn't go and everybody else goes? You ever have that first, think of that first before you say it. Like what, say in your mind, I know he's not going to do it. So what I'm really saying is, you're not going on this trip. You know, the odds of them cleaning up the room, maybe 1 out of 10. Right? And then the parents, they don't think about, you know, I get these emails from parents, they're asking me, you know, I said if he doesn't get the chvais, kid wanted to go to summer camp. So the parents said like in the middle of the year, you know, if you don't get certain grades, you won't go to summer camp, right? So he didn't get the grades. And the parents said, so, you know, really should be, really, the summer camp would be good. It's a frum camp. It would be good. This, that. What should I do? So, you know, I don't write what I really want to say. You know, like, you idiot. Why did you do that to begin with? Why didn't you ask me first what should be the consequence? You know, that's when you should have written me the email. You know, I want him to do well. What should be the consequence? Now that you dug yourself in a hole 20 feet deep. Okay, Rabbi, how are you going to get me out of it? So you have to weigh the factors. So I told that person, I guess they ain't going to summer camp. Because if they do, then they know your word is worthless. And once your word is worthless, then you have no way of giving them hadracha. Okay, find them a day camp. That's it. You don't have an etza. But in the future, think before you make these ultimatums, the dangerous ultimatums. You call the rabbi before, what should the ultimatum be? You see, then it's a lot easier. But anyway, so that's things. So anyway, so the kid says, instead of father, if you don't, I'm not going to take any trip. See, this we don't get. But Ben, I know, the kid answers. I don't care, I won't go. Now, don't you get angry when they say that? Right? Look, pop the cloud, doesn't matter to me if I don't go on the trip. Right? Now for that already you want to not take him on a trip. For that answer. Why? Why? What's bothering you about that answer? You know what's bothering it? First of all, he's negating, he's disdaining the actual trip. He's saying the trip ain't great. Right? And Mamel, all the other kids are wondering, hey, maybe this isn't such a good trip, you know, A. But what's worse is, Shahulo Mishanela Av. You know, it makes no difference to him. He doesn't care. Right? There lies in a lack of respect in relation to the whole warning. In other words, his words display a lack of respect for his father's warnings. Your warnings don't mean anything to me. So he's really, as they're saying, the common vernacular now, he's dissing his dad. That's the lashon now. You know, dissing. I don't know why they call it, why diss. Oh, disrespect. Okay, dissing. You know. So, so you made up that rule. That rule doesn't bother me. You think you can hurt me? You can't hurt me. And I don't even want to go with you. You know, it's all in there. So it's such a lack of respect. You know, I don't care if you go with me, Abba. I'll have a better time at home than going with you. Right? That's what it really is. So now, guy says, I don't care about Gehenna. So what's he really saying? If I'm not afraid of Gehenna, I don't care to be a distant away from you. I don't care if I'm distant from you. I don't care if I'm not near you. Big deal. You don't understand. Understand what lies in the fact that you're not afraid of Gehenna. Right? That's the problem. So therefore, turn the page. Kvod Yisbarachu, the honor of Hashem is She'etzem etzi'usa shel Gehenna yiyo kli laharsias adam. The honor for Hashem is, if you knew there's a concept of Gehenna, what it's all about, that enough should make you shake. So when you remember and you think who created Gehenna and who's punishing you, you don't feel a fear of Gehenna, you have to daven Hashem to help you fear it. Right? That you have to help. You need help in that. Zoin akuda rishona b'yira. That's the first point of yira. Anikras yira zoinish. It's the first one of the first section of the first level of the fear of punishment. So Yazik and Shmarach Hashem is going along like this. Hashem should help us. We should get it. Well, Leil Liv Nois is Minas Av Hashem. And eventually, really, the whole purpose is to build up our love of Hashem, Kirvus Hashem, closest Hashem with Veikus Bo Yisbarach Shem. To cleave. The whole purpose of the year is to get close, not to get far away. Okay, Perik Yud Zion. Moving on with this exciting topic. Darchei Kinyan Yiras Oynish. The ways to acquire this fear of punishment. So, okay, first paragraph is going to be a quick review. We'll go quickly. A subcategory. He's Spinus Bisrael Masel. We're going to move eventually on to reflecting now the second step, second part, is the sufferings of this world. Okay, Kavish Biarnu, as we've already explained, Yiras Oynish, the fear of punishment, Yesh Bakoshi Mesum Luknos, there's a certain difficulty in acquiring it, Shimiyore Mitzad Onche Gehenim, because if you're worried only in terms of the punishments of Gehenim, Hare Gehenim Hudavar Ruchani Vishach L'Neshama, Gehenim is a spiritual thing that's more suited for the Neshama's understanding. Mamela, so, and we're more looking at the body. So Mamela have shars hechida lahasik zos, he im neshama v'loim aguf. The only way to really get it is with the neshama, not with the body. Kaguf, chash, rakash, l'ruchness. The body only feels physical and doesn't feel spirituality. And most people only see with their physical eyes and not with the neshama, so it's very hard for most people to visualize and internalize this. Okay, that's the problem. Okay, we tried to come up with some way of looking at it in some way, but it's still difficult. So, got to give you some ideas. So, Eitzer Yisharnal Zahi, the first piece of advice is, Sh'arim lo yishtamish li spayda nuso rak bisura Gehenim. You shouldn't only work on being afraid of Gehenim, and that should even be the primary thing. Ela be'ikar yishtamish bisura mozeh. It's better to work with dealing with the sufferings of this world as the punishments that are going to happen. It's a better one. Sh'oysim gam aguf mevim, because the body understands these a lot better. Because the eye sees and the ear hears them. L'moshel, for example, Adam roya noshim cholim. Person sees people that are sick. Oshar yisurim sheishimol. You see other sufferings that are in this world. All of these b'ayin b'em, you have to reflect on them l'havin, and you have to go over this chazal. She'ein yisurim b'lo chet. There's no suffering without sin. K'moshel ma'adu chazal that rabbis taught us. Again, it doesn't always mean the person who's suffering did that exact sin, but if he's suffering, it's at least for somebody else's sin. At least, if there were no sins in the world, there would be no pain in the world. No matter what, there'd be no pain in the world. No suffering. If there people are suffering, it means there's avarice in the environment. Now, most likely, it's the person who's suffering did it, but not always. And therefore, we don't look. That was the Mida of this week, the ninth attribute of the Migil Mida Shal Rachamim. Tashlich Bim Tzulas Yom, throw into the seas all their averes. That when a person's suffering, you shouldn't say, he's suffering because God punished him. See, he was a rotten guy. But if Hashem is punishing him, I don't want to have anything to do with him. No, we don't do that. The suffering that he's getting is the cleansing, because Hashem loves him. He's purifying him now. But once he suffered, he's purified, and he's part of who we are. You know, we tend to say, what's wrong with him? What's wrong with him that he's suffering? Okay, you know, most of the time, God, you know, only with big tzaddikim do they suffer for other people's sins. Generally, if we're suffering, it's our favorite. That's all. You know, okay, we don't say it to people, but so you say, Mr. Shem, Shem's getting him closer, right? But don't forget the rule. The rule is that person's suffering. There's an aver out there, and the real thing is, and you know what? And I got plenty of averes, and I thought that person was better than me. Oh man, what do I got to look forward to? And that is something you can think about. Look, that very nice person, and they got this big sickness. Okay, they must have spoken some lashon hara. I mean, they're a pretty nice person. This person goes to minyan 3 times a week. This person, a day. Person puts on his tefillin. Person, I don't hear any lashon hara. He says, okay, must do some things private in his house. Okay, in your house, but I talk lashon hara right in front of everybody. I don't even go to minyan. You know, something's going to happen to me, and it has to, right? So that already is something you can relate to. Yes, sir.
I thought our perspective is supposed to be that when going through suffering, the individual is supposed to look at themselves as, I have a tikkun in me that needs correcting, and maybe I'm suffering because I'm a rasha or doing something wrong. Other people are supposed to look at the individual who is suffering as, that person must be a tzaddik, and therefore they're observing the things in this world. You should never be looking at a person as if they're...
Again, that's what I was preempting before. Again, when you're talking to them, you're not going to say it. But let's not be foolish. You see 100 people getting sick. You're going to think all 100 wasn't because of their aveira? Like, let's not be naive. Let's not be naive. There's sensitivity and there's naivety. Right? Sensitivity is you don't go to the guy and say, you know, you must have sinned. You know, it's not my place to say that. Okay? But, what if Taka, you see the guy talks Lashon Hara? He never stops talking Lashon Hara. And you see he gets cancer of the tongue. Okay, you know, yeah. It's Pashut. Okay? Now, but here's the point. You don't look less of the person. You don't look less of the person. You gotta go listen to the tape, the ninth attribute. It's part of the system of tshuva. It's Hashem is fixing the person up. You know, and I stay close to that person. I don't say, oh, see, if God hates you, I should hate you too. You know, and then the person will start telling the person, I see Hashem. No, you have rachmanis on them, and you say, you know, oh, the pain must be terrible, and of course you try to help them and all these things, but you should assume, you know, but he's not a bad person because Hashem is giving him the kapara, and through the kapara he's becoming better, right? So there's different levels, you know. You don't go to the person, oh hi, I heard you have cancer of the tongue. Well, God really gave it to you for that lashon you spoke. Not gonna do that, right? And if other people say, you know, he must be a real rotten guy. You say, oh, well, we don't know. When you're talking in general, when it's out in the open, you say, we don't know. How can you say?
So you're saying that we only look at tzaddikim like that and not the other people.
The truth is,
tzaddikim get it, we say, oh, look, the person is a goal.
You know, but the point.
How do I know the person down the street is not a person who privately is doing so many unbelievable things that we don't know?
Yeah, but I see he talks lashon hara every day. Okay? I see he doesn't learn. I see he doesn't come to minyan. So what do you want? So Hashem's got to wake him up. I see the guy's arrogant. I mean, certain arrogances, you know, right? And why is the guy parking his Lamborghini right in my driveway? Oh, I didn't know. I thought it was my driveway. Right. You know, I mean, you can't be foolish. You know, we don't know the great things people do also. You know, we don't know that. It's not our business to measure and define the person. Well, you know, he's a 63 in Yiddishkeit. You know, that you can never do, because you don't know what he's doing privately. We can't measure a person. But one thing you gotta know, if he's an average guy, and he's suffering, he's done an Aveira. And let's not be foolish. Hashem isn't, you know, Hashem isn't punishing everyone in the world for other people's averos. You know, that's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. You know. No, I'm saying you don't speculate.
Right.
We don't get into, oh, so what was the aveira they did, and what was this, and what was that? You just should get, you walk away with understanding. That person's suffering, it must have been an aveira. And you know what, and the only purpose of saying that is, and I've done averas like that, and I better expect those sufferings unless I do tshuva. And that's it. And that's it. That's it. You know, you're not going to your friend and saying, hey, you know, the guy over there, he's in the hospital. I wonder what aveira he did. Let's talk about it for an hour. No, you don't do that. You don't do that. You don't do that. You don't do that. If somebody says to you, you know, Rabbi, Mr. So-and-so's dying in the hospital, what aveira do you think he did? Okay, then you say, you know what? We don't know. It's not our business. It could be something else. You know, could be somebody else's problem. We don't know. All right, that's like, but the truth is, how do you mamish look at? You look at, there has to be an avera. It's not my business to go into it. More than likely, more than, it's avera. And the whole point is one thing. And I probably sin more, and I better get doing tshuva immediately so I don't end up in the hospital. That's the point of it. That's the only point of it. Don't dwell. Hey, you have a coffee. So you heard the bruchis in the hospital. You know, it suits her to be in the hospital because she hurt my feelings last week. And she this and, you know, not that, you're not going to do that. Don't get so specific here. You know, unless you find in the Gemara, the rabbis visited one of the rabbis who was sick and said, you know, tell me what it's from. And they told him, then he yelled at them. He said, what do you mean? I didn't want to hear it. Right? So, you know, you don't get that detailed. Right? The thing is, you hear someone in the community is sick, what should be? You know what? Nebuch, there must be some avera that Hashem is cleaning up. We all do averas. And that's all. And say, and I must have more than that person. And I'm probably going to be next unless I do tshuva. And that's what you're supposed to think. You see people are sick in your community. It's for one reason. So you to do tshuva. Finished. Not to do tshuva. No, he really somebody else's problem. And that's why he's getting sick. You know what? Most of the times he'll get sick. It's an avera. And they probably got an avera. Probably. And I'm not judging him as bad people. You know, I'm not judging him any different than Shlomo Melech. Nobody lives in this world that does good that doesn't sin. Finished. And he probably did a little avera, and Hashem's going after him for a little avera. That's it. You know, everybody, you know, for me to think that, you know, you look at a person, you know, that person I'm looking at has probably done a million mitzvahs and maybe a couple of averas. Am I looking bad at that person? I'm not looking at any different than Shlomo Melech looked at people. Right? Shlomo Melech. He says, Shlomo Melech is saying, you know, everyone in this room, has done a lot of mitzvahs and has done averus. So Malach says it. No, I can trust him. So now someone's in the hospital, so I should know. For the few averus the guy did, he's getting punished. That's all. There's nothing terrible about that. I'm not saying he's a bad guy. Right? So now, and I probably did more averus. Right? Or at least the same. Or at least so, you know what? When's my number coming up? You know what? Hey, it's 2 weeks to Rosh Hashanah. I better get cracking. You know, that's interesting why... You know, now, okay, it could be, maybe, he's a tzaddik, he's suffering from people's averos, wonderful. And you know what? If he's suffering from somebody else's averos, probably one of them is mine. And it's my fault he's in the hospital. Okay, you want to do that? But that doesn't work the same as if knowing you're going to get it tomorrow. And it's not a coincidence, it's not a coincidence. I'm not talking, an infant is different. Obviously it's different. An infant is punished, usually, because of the parents' averos. Gemara says. You can, if a child dies before they're 20, it's usually because of the parents.
I thought you said only tzaddikim suffer for
everything. I didn't say only. Okay, that's one example. And a child could suffer for a parent too.
It's possible.
So it could be for their parents. It could be for other. There's a lot of reasons. I don't want to get into all the reasons. We're getting way off topic over here. Okay, so if you're looking at a child, so it could be a many reasons. It could be because the parents of Averis are being punished, right? And then
religious,
you should say,
religious parents
who do averos? I don't understand. Religious people do averos. So, Gemara says, what's the punishment for machloikas? Little children, little babies are die. Now who's getting in machloikas? From people.
But
So that, oh, so,
their children are doing fine.
Good. So that's what he's going to say on the next page. That's what makes it hard for us to do this, because they see the Russia gets away, nothing happens. That's the challenge over here, right? Okay. You're getting all too emotional about this. Don't get so emotional about this. You know, just look at it simple. Look at it simple. It's very simple. It's very simple. Everybody you know has done Averos. Okay, and let's not fool ourselves. Maybe the one big tzaddik, the holy, holy tzaddik that never goes out of his house, maybe he doesn't do an Avera. Maybe. Although King Shlomo would seem to argue with you on that one too. Okay, there ain't nobody. Gemara says there's only three people who lived in the world who never sinned. You know, that means Rosh Hashiva's sin too. Their sins aren't the same as ours. Everybody sins. You know, you gotta be honest. Everybody does Averis. Everybody does Averis. And it has to be cleaned. It has to be cleaned. Now, if you do tshuva, then you're smart. You're smart. But if you see somebody suffering, you have to know it. Stamina is some kind of error. The person's not a bad person. I don't look at the person any less by the fact that he's suffering.
Didn't we learn in that class, didn't we learn that the whole idea of that attribute was that when you see somebody suffering, the assumption is he already started the process of tshuva, so you should look at him on a
bit so of fine. A so fine, you look at it.
So that's a good thing.
He's doing tshuva, yeah, but it wasn't that good he did the avera. But it's okay. It's not that bad. Person's not avera. Yeah. You know, person's not avera. It's normal. It's not like if nobody did Averis and he was the only one who did Averis, then it really is bad. But if you just remember, Shlomo Melech says everybody does Averis. That's part of life. Part of life is you do Averis. Part of life is Hashem punishes. Now, if you're smart, you're doing tshuva. Could be you're doing tshuva and the suffering is cleaning out the rest that's got left to get cleaned out. But one thing's for sure you're supposed to learn from that. You know what? The best thing I could do when I see what's going on is to do tshuva for my Averis. That can only be good. Right? Because the problem is, you do an Aver, you think there's no repercussions. That's the problem. You do an Aver, there's no repercussions. What are you talking about? This person's got cancer, this person's got cancer. They're not coming out of nowhere. So I can be next. What should you do, right? What happens? Your best friend, your three best friends have heart disease. Because they're all 50 pounds overweight. And you're 100 pounds overweight. Okay, what are you supposed to do? Well, you know, it really wasn't his fault. Bad luck. I'll have better luck. No, you say he got heart disease because he didn't take care of himself. And I better learn from that. That's all. So that's that becomes a very important lesson. A person should realize you see sick people, it comes from Averis. Right? Don't be oversensitive here. Be sensitive for yourself. Say, what am I going to learn from it? You go to a hospital, you're supposed to learn things from going in a hospital, right? So there's a whole world. You go to a hospital, there's a whole world of sickness. Right? So what should you be thinking when you go into that place? A lot of things. You say, well, we have to have rachmonis on the people who are sick. We should daven for them. But one thing you can walk out, man, if there's a whole world of hospitals, there's a whole world of Averis out there. And I'm part of that world. And I'm lucky I'm not in the hospital. So what am I going to do to make sure I don't get into that hospital? Well, one thing's for sure. I do tshuva. You can't lose. You can't lose. Even if I will suffer, even if I have to go to the hospital, maybe it'll only be to take my appendix out and not to take my heart out. You know, I'm just saying it's pushing. It's pushing how to think. It's pushing how to think. All right, see, Baruch Hashem, we woke everybody up this morning. Very good. So if anybody has any questions, we can entertain them tomorrow morning and Mr. Hashem will continue.